You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the doc, and this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And today we're talking about pans and all the little things that really affect pans. Things that if you're not a pans mom and you don't know, and you're not a pans provider and you don't know because you've just seen it so many times, you might have people look at you a little askance if you say it, that affects you, or you might even look at yourself and say, could this really be making things worse? Believe it or not, there's a whole lot of little things like that. And we're going to talk about it today. Jody, as a pans mom, what were some of the first things that you really noticed?
I think the biggest thing, aside from all of the big whoppers, the infections and mold and all those type things, the biggest one for us was full moons, surprisingly. And a very, very close second was chlorine. Literally anytime either one of those things would happen, all of the symptoms that Avery would have would just kind of go through the roof for a little while. And there was no avoiding it. It just kept, like, every month with a full moon, it happened. And every time she went swimming, it just came back over and over and over again.
Yeah. So those are things that people will oftentimes point to and say, this means this, or this means this. And the reality is that there is some truth to it, but I don't think that it is 100% for most people that that's what's going on. So let's take both of those two. Are there any others that you've heard from other parents too before we start dissecting things?
I know things like Wi-Fi, and some people say like the fluorescent lights at schools or stores or whatever. Mm-hmm. I know there's multiple little ones that I'm not thinking of, because there's always like little, like I see mention of it, but I can't remember what they are right now.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll come to you through the course of our conversation. And if they don't come to you, or if you're, once you're listening to this, if there's one that we missed, we would love to hear about the one that we missed. If you're in our Facebook group, just give us a comment about little things that we might have missed in this particular conversation. And if you're not a member of our Facebook group, you should become one. There's a link in the show notes to access that. It's Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, if you want to go search right now and not have to leave. So you can go and join that if you are somebody who suspects that your child has pans or pandas. And if you don't want to be on Facebook, totally cool. You can send us a DM on Instagram, also in our show notes, how to contact us there, or send us an email, also in our show notes. So there's lots of ways to get in touch with us to let us know if we missed something, because if we miss something, we do want to make sure we talk about that maybe in a future episode, to like, here's all the things that we missed. All right. So we're going to the moon, the chlorine issues, Wi-Fi, and fluorescent lights. So let's talk about the moon first. What most people say, what you probably heard, Jody, again and again, was that if there's worsening around the full moon, it means parasites for sure. Mm-hmm. Parasites do tend to get worse around the full moon. That does not necessarily mean that you have parasites. And it also doesn't necessarily mean that the parasites are the exclusive cause of the worsening around the full moon. There's somebody I saw in our Facebook group one time who has some medical education, had commented about whether it could even be about just like fluid changes, and like different pulls on like how the shifting of the moon affects the shifting of tides, and it affects a lot of women and their menstrual cycles and babies being born more predominantly on the full moon, that there are things that are because of the way that fluid shifts around in the body as a result of the moon cycle, that could be just as much important for kids with pans versus it being necessarily parasites. So my biggest thing with this is to not automatically assume, oh, it's worse around the moon, it means parasites, now let's do a parasite cleanse. Because one of the things that we see happen so frequently is that people, especially if you are just reading things from like community forums or whatever posts that you see someplace, and say, oh, my kid is worse around the full moon, that means they must have parasites, so I'm just going to try this herb or try this whatever parasite cleanse. It's not necessarily going to be effective or helpful. It's going to cost you a lot of money. Your kid's probably going to fight with you about it. Could make things actually get worse. Could create more complex state for your kiddo. And you could kill off a whole lot of really beneficial things that, you know, we actually even use some of these, just like we once upon a time thought all all bugs were bad. And we wanted to use antibiotics to just kill, get rid of everything. And then we said, oh, oops, we accidentally killed off a whole bunch of really good guys too, that are really important for our overall health. And so now we're dealing with all this gut dysbiosis and leaky gut and things like that associated with having destroyed so much of our healthy gut flora by trying to get rid of anything that was potentially bad. We're doing the same thing with parasite cleanses and with antifungals right now too, honestly. And so my concern is that we're just going to end up having to go through this round that we see with people, antibiotics, probiotics, and then find out, oh, the probiotics actually don't help that much anyway. We can talk about that on a completely different episode if we want to. But getting this back and forth, antibiotics, probiotics, what do we do to restore a healthy flora? Like we're going to get in that with parasites, and we're going to do antiparasitics and then helminth therapy and then antiparasitics and helminth therapy and find out all the ways that we can get the good guys to come back. So ultimately, I am not a fan of parasite cleanses or the parasite theory. What is your stance on this as a mom, Jody, having been through it?
Well, I had one stance and then you changed my mind. I remember at one point you told me that that exact thing. You're like, you don't want to kill off all of the parasites. And I think parasites, for some reason, is one of those things where we as moms immediately want to do something. Like, I see pinworms, like I am sprinting somewhere to get something and do something. It's very hard to, it was hard for me to trust that homeopathy was going to help take care of it, but then also at the same time, fix the reason why the overgrowth is happening or why the pinworms keep coming back over and over again. So you told me at one point, you're like, same thing, like, don't kill them all off, because there's, you know, parasites serve a good purpose in the body. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, she's wrong. She's got to be wrong. I can't even count how many times I have thought, oh my gosh, no, she's wrong. And of course you end up being right. And now both of my girls, because both of them had problems with pinworms, and I'm sure other stuff I just didn't know about. But we have gotten to a place where we have not had parasite issues for many, many years now. And, you know, that can be attributed to their immune system maintaining that healthy balance and having the parasites that they need to have, but not having the overgrowth that comes with the immune system that's working poorly. So I'm right there with you now.
Yeah. But it took a while to get there. Yeah. So ultimately the reality is that when you have worms or parasites that are verified by lab testing, not just by symptoms that you think are presenting that suggests that there's a parasite there, but verifiable from lab testing or from you seeing them, and for sure knowing that they are definitely parasites, because there's sometimes that people will, you'll see things in your stool that end up being like vegetable fibers or mucus or things like that, that can look scary, but is really not a parasite and it's really benign. So when there is actual true parasites, that's part of the challenge, homeopathy can still help. So homeopathy can help stimulate the body to heal in a way that it will fight off the parasites itself. And it works on that level of susceptibility that Jody, you just mentioned, that like, no matter what you did, they kept coming back and kept coming back until you stopped trying to treat them so aggressively and allowed homeopathy to do its thing. And we included that as part of the totality of symptoms, the big picture of everything that was going on. And we saw that improve. Yep. So full moon is not necessarily just about parasites. It could be about lots of other things. Like we talked about, we don't necessarily know exactly what the full moon worsening is about. Just wanted to make sure we validate that even if it's not about parasites, or even if it is or is not about parasites, if there is a worsening around the full moon, one, you're not crazy. There's a whole lot of pans parents who are experiencing that too. I will always know what phase of the moon we're in now, because parents will make sure to tell me what phase of the moon we're in. So you're not crazy. And two, it won't be this way forever, especially if you're using homeopathy, because homeopathy reduces that susceptibility to whatever it is for that particular timing to create the specific symptoms that your kiddo is experiencing or that you are experiencing as well. Because, you know, if you might also be affected by it.
Yeah. I think at the same time, sorry, I have one more thing. At the same time, because I'm that person that thinks homeopathy is going to literally fix everything and make my kids like completely like this all of the time. My kids still, not in a pans way, but they're a little kooky on full moons. This is like you said earlier, it's a human thing. And from being a farmer bartender back in the day, I can very much verify that humans, and especially humans that are drinking alcohol, are strongly affected by the moon. And I think all kids are a little kooky, or can be a little kooky. So it's a normal human thing too.
Yeah. So. And it can be different for different people, how much they're affected by it based off of their level of sensitivity, which is kind of really what we're going to be talking about for all of this, because the more highly sensitive a person is, the more they're going to be affected by all of the things that we're talking about today. So another little thing is the chlorine. And so if you have noticed that every time you take your kiddo swimming in a chlorinated pool, that things go a little bit kooky, you're not alone. And it's probably not just about the environment itself. It's probably about the chlorine. So chlorine does have some neurotoxicity associated with it, which is obviously not great for kids who are dealing with a lot of issues with their nervous system not functioning appropriately. That again is a susceptibility that homeopathy can address. I can't tell you how many people we have every summer in our Facebook group where we do Jody posts every Wednesday, a hump day hallelujah, what we call it, homeopathy hallelujah, where people share big victories. And throughout the summer, invariably, we have comments about being able to go to a pool and not have a meltdown, and being able to be in a chlorinated space and not have their kiddos have a significant flare or regression. Share us a little bit about your experience, Jody.
Well, first, we live in Texas, so it is hot. It's hot for a really long time. And my kids, they love to swim, but more than anything, they love water parks. I mean, they love water parks. And during our PANS time, it just felt really awful, because it felt like we weren't ever going to be. And we did stop for a while. Like, we would go to like little outings where they would swim and everything would go crazy every single time. We eventually just stopped the water park outings, and it was just sad because that was something that brings my kids so much joy. And it was like, oh my gosh, are we ever going to be able to do this again? And it felt like we weren't going to be able to. And I remember going through, you know, Avery's healing journey as we were treating homeopathically. And it felt like, you know, we went for a while and she was still struggling with chlorine, but then eventually, there was a couple of times where we swam and I was like, hey, like nothing happened. And then, you know, a couple of times later, you know, she had a little flare, but then the further we got into it, it was happening less and less. And then eventually, once her immune system kind of caught up and was doing all this stuff like it should, she was fine. No problems whatsoever. She was so fine that we ended up, whenever we moved, we ended up putting a pool in, because we're in Texas and it's hot all the time. And we want all the kids coming over here to play. So we ended up putting a pool in. That's how okay she was. And that was something that was, well, along with everything else, it was permanent. It's stuck. It's still like, she swims every single day for at least an hour, and she's totally fine. It's no longer an issue for her.
Yeah. So like we said, it's about the susceptibility to having this atypical response to chlorine. Because if you think about it, like, most people can go to a pool and they're not going to have a substantial flare and like get really aggressive or get really anxious or have intrusive and repetitive thoughts or start to tick or anything like that. So it's about having the susceptibility to this response. The trigger is not the problem. It's the way that we respond to it that gives us insight into what's going on in the body that needs that nudge to heal.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to lump the last two together, the Wi-Fi and fluorescent lights, because that's really related to EMF, right? To electromagnetic frequencies. And that is something that I sort of bring together to in the concept with these kids with PANS and PANDAS being just really, really hypersensitive to the things around us that like are not great for any of us, but that we're all just significantly less reactive to than these really, really sensitive kiddos. And so if you feel like your kiddo gets worse, if they're in like, you know, near the Wi-Fi, or if you notice that the Wi-Fi is down and like or power's out or whatever, and your kiddo is doing better during that period, or if they happen to be near a cell phone tower for a while and they are doing worse, that again, you're not alone. This is a phenomenon that a lot of parents witness. And as a provider, these are things that I have seen substantially improve to resolve for people who have PANS and PANDAS, so that they can be around those things and not have it really negatively impact them, or they might not even notice it. So this could include like electric transformers. It could include like solar panels. I've had some kids talk about being really sensitive when they're around solar panels. You know, anything that can like really give off a lot more of that electromagnetic frequency. I don't recall you having a lot of those experiences, Jody.
I was just thinking about it. I remember Avery, whenever she used to play on the iPad, whenever she was back in like full on PANS mode, I remember her cheeks would get really red, and then behaviorally she would have like significant changes, and whether that was like whatever the games or whatever she was playing due to the chemicals. But I could like see, I could see that like cheeks getting all red, and it wasn't from an anger thing. It was literally just when she was playing on the computer.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe that was a little bit of a reaction there.
Yeah. I probably had PANS as a kid, right? We've talked about that. And I still, like, if I'm on my computer for a really, really long time, my little like already kind of ruddy cheeks get redder as well. So, and again, I'm like a more sensitive person than the average person. So
yeah,
makes sense, right? But ultimately all of these tie back to being hypersensitive to things that can impact all people. They're just substantially more impactful for kids with PANS and PANDAS, and impactful in a specific way where we see a flare of these neuropsychiatric symptoms. And when we address this using homeopathy, and we address this susceptibility and their unique susceptibility, we see these things start to resolve. So whether there actually are parasites, whether there actually is an overload of toxic burden, which we'll talk about in more detail in a future episode, homeopathy can help address all of this. Any final thoughts for moms and dads listening or anybody, whether you're mom or dad, anybody listening, whether you on like these small things that
I think that this, like this right here, is a reminder of the importance of fixing the inside so you don't have to spend forever fixing the outside, right? Because these are all outside things. And we could literally spend our entire lives trying to manage all of these things. But instead of now managing all of these things, with Avery, we've fixed the inside. So yeah, She's able to live in the world regardless of, you know, what the outside, what effect is on her. And her body is functioning the way it should be. It's managing, you know, what it should be. And it's just so important to fix inside to be able to do everyday life in a healthy manner.
I think the last thing that we should really talk about is the fact that yes, all of these things can and will be helped with homeopathy, and they're not going to change overnight. So there are things that people will need to do to help mitigate reactions to them while they are on their healing journey, while they're working through with using homeopathic remedies. And so, you know, if you notice that there is a worsening around the moon, there's not a ton that I have seen shared or that I've gleaned from working with clients that this is a surefire way to manage this or to mitigate the response, other than just understanding, you know, maybe tracking the moon. And like, if they happen to be getting a little bit worse, or maybe not tracking the moon, because I think in some ways you invite it when you track. But maybe if things are getting a little bit worse and you're not sure why, maybe just checking to see where you're at in the lunar cycle. And in those cases, just giving yourself a little bit of grace, and that might be a good opportunity to, you know, do a little tape test on the bum to see if there are any actual parasites that are contributing to it. And then working with your provider to see if something is warranted in that particular situation as an additional antiparasitic or a specific antiparasitic. As far as chlorine, was there anything that you found useful, Jody, with chlorine?
No, I know that there's people had mentioned doing vitamin C sprays. I didn't ever try any of them. All of these things, I feel like I managed with mindset. Like, I know it's going to be a rough 2 days. Like deep breath, we can do this for 2 days and we'll be all right.
Yeah. So I've also heard the vitamin C spray. I don't know for sure. There's not been any studies that I'm aware of that show that that's really effective. But making sure that you get your children like washed as quickly as possible and like thoroughly washed as soon as they're done with swimming, I think is also really important. Whether the vitamin C spray beforehand will do anything to help prevent it, I don't know. But getting them really well washed afterwards. And then, like you said, with mindset, is this family activity and the fun we can have doing this, is it worth it? Does it outweigh the worsening that we're going to have? And can we both shift our mindset and even make plans so that, like, if you know that your kiddo is going to be worse after swimming, that you just schedule a day or two that's our easy days and like recovery days afterwards, if there's going to be like a big pool party, or if you know, then like you don't even have to look whether the lunar calendar, like at the lunar calendar, because you know it's becoming a full moon because of how your kiddo's doing. Maybe you schedule your life around like those days. We just don't have big events, or we decline anything around that time.
Yeah.
And then as far as like sensitivity to electronics, I don't know of anything that is really like, there's lots of devices that are out on the internet to try and help you with like impacts from EMF. I don't know that any of them work. They all claim to have studies behind them. And I think many of the studies that I have looked at are pretty dubious. So I think that in many cases that they're just spending a lot of money to give you peace of mind instead of you just shifting your mindset about it. But I could be wrong, and I'd be happy to be wrong about that. But I don't know of anything other than, you know, turning off the Wi-Fi in your home when you're not using it, and doing the best that you can. I mean, there's not much you can do to avoid fluorescent lights if you're going out. There's not much you can do to avoid cell phone towers or things like that. So aside from like moving to live completely off the grid, which is just not realistic for most people, that's a matter of figuring out what you can to keep your home as safe as possible so that you're only really dealing with things when you're outside of your home.
Yeah.
All right. So until next time, we will look forward to talking to you guys then. In our next episode, we're going to be talking about PANS and COVID. Talk to you again then, guys.
Bye, guys. We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.